Browns training camp rolling along down yonder in West Virginia. They wrap that portion of camp up later this week. We'll get them back in Cleveland over the weekend to talk about the state of Browns football, year three of Deshaun Watson. We're going to welcome on a member, a former member of an NFL front office right now, and a true NFL expert. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on NFL Network analyst, longtime front office member with the New York Giants, amongst others, and a part of NFL Network's Inside Training Camp, which airs daily through August 7th. Mark Ross with us. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back.
Well, you're back, which means football is back. Now, because you spent so much time in the front office, I'm curious at how you would feel being on Hard Knocks off-season edition, because I hear that a lot of front office types get very skittish about the kind of content we're seeing out there in public.
Yeah, you know, that's the last thing that kind of front office people want to see, let people see is behind the scenes. And, you know, I think the Giants, when I was in it for years, you know, the ownership didn't want anything to do with Hard Knocks. So for them to kind of acquiesce and do it at this point, I think they might have thought it's okay. But from the little I've seen, the shots that people send me and everything, the clips, it's up to interpretation how they're coming off looking, but you know, it's almost like a no-win situation when you have that access. But it's going to keep going, and you know, it creates content and money. So I'm sure the rest of the teams will be like, nope, not us, please.
Well, I think folks here in Cleveland would like to see the Browns offseason on Hard Knocks, so they can sort of get a look inside as to, you know, what's going on with Deshaun Watson. How's he look, you know, in the building, on the practice field? Certainly his off-the-field stuff, they want to know about that too. How's he doing? What are your expectations for Deshaun Watson this year?
You know, I really don't know. It's still that wild card of what is he going to be. And is it the Deshaun Watson that Cleveland thought they were getting when they gave him all that money, or is it the one that you've seen since he's been there? And that's the mystery. That's the big mystery of opening day and what's he going to look like? And I think even training camps, preseason won't really tell the whole truth. It's once the games start going, and you know, everything hinges on that for the Browns. It's if he's elite, you got a shot. And if he's not, then it'll be more of the same.
So it's interesting. We've talked about, are they Super Bowl contenders? Are they playoff contenders? You know, what can you expect from Deshaun? You kind of hinted at it there, though, Mark. What's the lowest level of play Deshaun has to attain for the Browns this year to be a Super Bowl contender, and certainly just to be one of the seven teams left standing going to the playoffs?
Yeah, he has to be on par with, I mean, you just look at, you know, I go in all games, it's like, okay, who's the better quarterback? And then everything else falls into place after that. And when just in your own division, you're staring at Lamar and Joe Burrow, like, all right, I have to somewhat match those guys. And then we're not even getting to Mahomes and Allen and, so, you know, Herbert and the Chargers with Harbaugh going there now. So you really have to look at and say, I got to go toe-to-toe with Lamar and Joe. And then everything else has to fall in place. I mean, last year was kind of magical for the Browns, the way everything came together for them with the defense and the close games and things just breaking their way, missed field goals, the whole deal. And you can't try to replicate that year after year. You have to have something consistently to rely on, and that should be your franchise quarterback. So he has to play at a consistent high level for them to be certainly Super Bowl contenders or even AFC champs or win the division. So, you know, they're in a tough division. I think the toughest in football. So, you know, just to get out of there, things will have to break right for them, much like last year. And unless he is at an elite level and brings everybody else up to his level.
Well, with that being said, that begs the question. If Deshaun does not perform up to the expectations that we just talked about, you talked about, brought up right there, what do they do? Is there a chance they could move on from Deshaun Watson next year?
You know, I think they would have to. I mean, it's how many years removed? 3 years? It would be 3 years removed from everything. And if he looks like he's looked, then you'd say, all right, well, we made a mistake and we can't keep this anchor on the franchise. We have to go in another direction. And, of course, that's going to be some tough conversations between Barry and Stefanski and the ownership group. But you know, of course, they think and they're hoping that he's going to get back to a high level. But if he doesn't, that's time for tough decisions and say, how do we make the Browns better?
Mark Ross on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline here. Browns at the Greenbrier still. We are, of course, waiting for them to come back to Cleveland for the rest of camp. But as we talk about all things Cleveland Browns here, there's been some cynicism about the Browns defense, both in Cleveland and outside of Cleveland, that they can maintain that number one defense in the NFL. Are you expecting a defensive regression from this team this year?
Well, when you're one, it's hard. You can't get better. You can only go down, right? I mean, if you're two or four or five, like, they're not as good. Well, that's okay. You know, as long as they're at the top and Myles Garrett dominates and those young guys in the secondary get after it. My guy Dalvin Tomlinson puts in work there. You know, they still have pieces and talent on the defense to, even if they're not number one, they should play at a level that they'll compete in all games, give the team a chance to win in every game. So, you know, of course, when the standard is being the absolute best, it's easy to say, of course, you're not going to be as good. But as long as they're in the mix and they're in the top and you know, they're holding teams under 20 or whatever it may be, that they've got all the pieces. They got the coordinator as well, and Schwartz with the job he did last year. So there's no reason they should not be at the very top, if not number – it not have to be number one.
Mark, the Browns decided not to extend Amari Cooper this offseason. Instead, they just restructured the deal. And so it's essentially still a one-year contract. Is that the right move? Did they make the right decision?
Yeah, I think in the way, you know, Amari's getting up there and just there's so many receivers coming out now. And I think if unless you're a Justin Jefferson or CD's got to get paid at some point and you know, that, just young, and you've got a lot of life left in you, a lot of career left. There's so many guys that are just jumping in right away and performing at a high level. So, you know, Andrew Berry looked at the math, he looked at the numbers, and said, "You know what? We don't have to do this, and we can find some talent elsewhere." And I think you'll see that more and more with teams. You see the Brandon Ayuk situation out there in San Fran; it's a similar thing. Well, we've got Debo, we got Kittle, we got CMC, but we're not going to pay you at the top of the market. It's not like quarterbacks where each quarterback, whoever's up, gets paid. It doesn't matter if they're better or not. There's still that value that I think teams are placing on other position, and specifically with receivers, since those numbers have just been going crazy.
Mark, you've got a great production out of your number one receiver, Amari Cooper, elite production last year, top five production tight end in the NFL, David Njoku. As this offense goes to more of a spread-based, Deshaun called it a collegiate-based offense. We can all kind of parse what any of these terms mean. Who do you think is more important for this offense this year, meeting or exceeding expectations, Njoku or Amari Cooper?
Ooh, how about Nick Chubb? I mean, getting him back into the mix and healthy, and I mean, that guy's a machine, so I fully would expect him to be back, but I think I would go by just choosing between Njoku and Amari. I'd say Amari. You know, it's kind of easier to, you know, for a wide receiver to just scheme him open and break out and make huge plays, and you can kind of take the tight end out of the game a little bit more. So I would say Amari would be the guy, the focal point that defensive coordinators would look at the Browns and say, we shut him down. We have a really good chance of stifling the offense.
NFL Network analyst Mark Ross on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. The NFL Network's Inside Training Camp airs daily through August 7th there. So because we've just talked about Nick Chubb, Bill Barnwell of ESPN wrote up his list. He predicted the next 50 gold jackets as we are in Hall of Fame week here. And of the Browns, of guys that have played for the Browns, he had Alex Mack, Nick Chubb, Joel Bitonio, and Amari Cooper all either on the cusp or in the hall. Of those four players, who do you think has the best chance to be a future Hall of Famer here, be that next Hall of Famer after Joe Thomas?
Ooh, he said Mack, Chubb, Bitonio, and Cooper?
Yes.
Interesting. You know, it's hard for, you know, linemen to really get in. You got to be super special to do that. You know, receivers, there's so many that have huge numbers that aren't getting in. So that might discount Amari. I'd say then I'd go Chubb, just because if he just crushes another 4 years, let's just say, and there's not a lot of top-tier backs anymore. So So just by the positions and the math and the numbers, and if he produces at a high level for, let's say, four more years, and I just have to go with him just because, you know, it's hard for linemen. It's hard for receivers now, and there's just not a ton of high-level backs to even talk about getting in the Hall anymore.
Mark, I did mention the Hall of Fame game, Bears versus Texans here. What are your thoughts on each of these teams ahead of this game and their ability to compete in each of their respective conferences?
Well, you're talking Texans and the Browns or Bears?
Texans and Bears.
Yeah, I was just there by opening weekend there. I was at the Bears, so Hard Knocks was running around and getting ready for that Hall of Fame game. So, I mean, the Texans, just because they showed what they can be. And just this time last year, we weren't talking about the Texans at all. I went to their camp. I was like, yeah, this would be a nice, you know, love D'Amico and Stroud looks okay. It'd be a nice six win team or something. Never would have expected C.J. Stroud to jump out there rookie season and look like a cusp of a top five quarterback already. And that team that just overachieved some players, Nico Collins, just do things he's never done in his career. So, yeah, I think the Texans would be the easier choice. The Bears, a lot of question marks just with the rookie quarterback and the growing pains that he might go through, even though they've got maybe the best skill group in the league, and certainly receivers with the rookie Rome and DJ Moore just got paid, and Keenan Allen, and then Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift in the backfield. But I think there's still a lot of growing pains with the Bears. So, yeah, the Texans for sure have to have not just winning their division aspirations. They've got, like, we can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs and getting the Super Bowl aspirations.
You know, outside of the usual suspects that are always in the mix, you know, every year, basically the Chiefs, give us a couple teams, Mark, if you don't mind, that you're bullish on for this year.
I'm going to Baltimore tomorrow. You can never count them out. They're there. But the one I think is going to be still getting slept on a little bit is Chargers. I mentioned them where, in talking about the Texans, where last year you see how quickly a really good head coach and a supreme quarterback can change. And the Chargers have always been on that cusp since Justin Herbert's been there, and they just blow games. So now you got a quarterback who you've seen play at a top five level. So there's no questions about that, what he can do. And now you have a coach who's proven all I do is win and build. Culture is kind of overrated to me, but puts a winning mentality on a team is what I like to use it as. That's all the guy does. No matter what level he's at, he does it. So there's no guesswork for me when I'm looking at the Chargers to say, okay, I've got one of the top-tier coaches of his generation, and I've got one of the top-tier quarterbacks. Like, that's a winning formula, despite, of course, every team has some strengths and weaknesses. Like, that's the winning formula for the Chargers, and a team that's been close. They haven't been terrible. They've been close and just don't know how to win games. So put a supreme quarterback with a head coach who knows how to win, I think they're really going to be in the mix.
Mark, the quarterback paycheck conversation continues to stand tall above a lot of the conversations we have. You know, Tua gets paid this offseason, I want to say third, fourth most on average per year for the next 4 years. Jared Goff gets paid. He's up there at $50 million. Jordan Love, despite starting for, a short amount of time, he's up there. Have we jumped the shark on this conversation, or do you think those individual conversations about each one of those guys being worth it are fair conversations?
Yeah, I think that convo is just out the window because it's just the next guy up, they get paid. And if a team is really looking at it as, if we've got one, we'd rather overpay this and take a chance and hope for the best as opposed to where would we be without them. And you can break down each one of those and, like, they certainly should not get that money. And I think the Giants, and we were at fault of that when we paid Eli way back. We were kind of the first team that Aaron Rodgers had just got paid. And then we paid Eli right after that, maybe 16, 17, 15, 14, right somewhere around there. And of course it was, Eli's not better than Aaron Rodgers, but for us it was like, okay, we've got our guy, we have to pay him, he's not going anywhere, so here's the money. And then I think after that, it just kind of threw it out the window where you saw more and more of the teams just has that guy, then you have to pay them because you don't want to be without them. And I think it's just, you're just going to keep seeing that. Whoever the next guy up is, just add a couple of figures to that. And, that's what it'll be. And the value doesn't matter other positions, yes, the value will still matter, but at quarterback, not so much.
Mark, enjoy your journey into enemy territory. You're always welcome in Cleveland, though. All right, we don't have the same problems that Baltimore has, so you're always safe to come here, buddy.
All right, I got Pittsburgh a couple days later too, so I got both in the division, and unfortunately, I didn't get the assignment to Cleveland. But
if your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Maybe next year.
Mark, you're great, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. I'll take care.
Mark Ross of the NFL Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mark Ross of the NFL Network, longtime NFL front office member with the New York Giants mostly. I think there was a little time with the Eagles, a couple other organizations as well. Initially, he didn't want to give it to me. I asked him which player was more important to the Browns meeting or exceeding expectations this offseason, and I said Amari or David Njoku. And I look at this and I go, man, if David Njoku doesn't have another great year, if maybe takes a step back, he's a 500-yard receiver this year. Kind of think the offense is going to really struggle because a tight end with that kind of capability, yards after the catch, that ability to get open, by the way, as well, which has not been highlighted enough, and make plays, that's such a it adds such a different level to your defense. So just comparing David to Amari, that's where my initial head was at.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think, though, that between those two guys, I mean, how many balls do you think those guys are going to catch combined? It's not that funny, man.
No, I'm not. You jamming me up over
here. I did jam you up. My bad.
I didn't even laugh.
That was a little aggressive. I'm sorry.
I didn't even laugh. I just merely smirked.
It was a smirk.
Yeah. You getting mad at me for being immature is...
No, I mean, you can get mad at me for not paying attention. I'm going to get mad at you for being immature.
That's like being mad at the sun for putting off light. That being said, what was the question?
How many balls combined are they going to catch?
I'd say 150, right?
I mean,
near 100 for Amari.
Amari is going to get north of 80, 85, like north of that.
Yeah, I think that's what he's done recently. I think what makes it interesting is the alleged new offense. I'm going to keep saying that.
The alleged new offense.
We both struggle with that. That's okay. The alleged new
offense. You led me into it.
Allegedly. But I'm going to say it's allegedly a new offense until I see it. I was promised a new offense last year, and then we remember what we got, which was the same offense. Yeah. Okay, so if Amari's at 80, I'd throw Njoku at another 65-70. So that puts us right around 150.
Okay. What do you got, Mac?
For reference, last year, Amari Cooper had 128 targets, and Njoku had 123 for the season.
Mm. How many catches, though?
Catches, and Njoku had 81, Cooper had 72.
I would not have guessed off the top of my head that Njoku had more catches than Cooper. But this led our very own Keith Britton to put out the Twitter poll here at after... Wrong one. At 923 the fan, who is most important for the Browns offense to meet or exceed expectations this season, and included Nick Chubb and Jerry Jeudy. Have you voted yet, Dustin? Don't yet. If you haven't already.
I have not voted yet.
All right. Who would you guess out of those four would be the leading vote getter through probably 20 minutes and 240 votes.
Give me the other two real fast.
Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, and David Njoku, who is most important for the Browns offense, meeting or exceeding expectations this season?
Jeudy.
That's interesting. 44% of people say Jerry Jeudy. That's the leading vote getter. Can I just ask why?
Well, it was the last part of what you asked me about the expectations and meeting those expectations and exceeding those expectations. And I think people have really high expectations for this guy. And, you know, because of what we gave up, because of the contract they gave him, I think that people believe this guy's going to really kind of step up here to be like the next Amari Cooper.
I think in the best case scenario, the first comment down, Jonathan on Twitter says, a healthy Watson means they all exceed expectations. And I think we saw last year, a healthy and productive Joe Flacco certainly saw a huge uptick in production, specifically for Njoku and, well, not just Njoku and Cooper. That was the best stretch of football we saw from Elijah Moore as well. So I agree with the premise that Jonathan on Twitter is throwing out there. Can I just say, it's not going to be Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb could end up being Nick Chubb again this year. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, for this offense to be the best version of itself, Amari, Jerry Jeudy, or David Njoku have to be the biggest playmaker you have. If we're still talking about Nick Chubb is by far your most important skill player, I don't know that's good for the Browns. I think it means you ran the ball a hell of a lot more than you thought. And
I don't have high expectations for Nick Chubb.
Yeah, you and I kind of differ there. So I don't know when to expect him back.
Well, that's part of it, though.
I expect to see at some point. I expect to, like, maybe
if
it's
Nick,
not.
If Nick Chubb somehow runs for more than 800 yards this year, because I don't think he's going to play right away.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say he misses, you know, 2 to 4 games,
mm-hmm.
something like that. I think if he gets north of 800 yards, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'd be thrilled with that.
Yeah.
I mean, if he sniffs anywhere near 1,000 yards and he misses almost a quarter of the season, I think that's a great place to kind of start your expectations, because I also don't think they're just going to use him like a bell cow back when he comes back.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it takes a while before maybe you see Jerome Ford, Foreman, Hines, Strong, whomever they pick, and I think it's going to be Jerome Ford with a smattering of the other guys, before those guys stop maybe getting as many touches. I just can't say it's Jerry Jeudy. I have high expectations. I expect him to be what he was in Denver. And I think that in this context, in this offense, if Deshaun is healthy, we're going to feel completely different about Jerry Jeudy at the end of this year, because I think his skill set with what Deshaun liked to do in Houston, I mean, that's – Deshaun made a lot – worse players with a similar skill set look a lot better than what Jerry Jeudy in Houston than what Jerry Jeudy looked like in Denver. But I'm not calling for that. I think it's clearly Njoku. I think this is the kind of year where Njoku, because again, I don't know a lot of people are talking about him as a top five tight end. He is. Last year was a top five tight end. I think this is the year that defines whether that's a blip on the radar screen or whether David truly has gotten to that level. And remember, like, Delanie Walker took 8 years before he became the guy that had a 1,000-yard season in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
That's the model for most tight ends. Jared Cook didn't really hit until, I want to say, like, his third contract in the NFL. So while some of us can look at David and go, I wonder if he's on the back end of his career, I think we could also say he's just starting to hit his peak. And if he's hitting his peak, And then let's go to follow. And Deshaun is healthy. Dude, I think that's where you have a really, really intriguing offense that's going to be really, really tough to stop. I think we've seen an offense where Amari is the best weapon by far, and it's a good offense. Haven't seen one with a guy like Deshaun yet here, but we've seen it where it's Amari and everybody else. We haven't seen it where it's Njoku's the best player, most impactful player, however you want to put it. Or, in fairness to what about 44% of voters right now, Jerry Jeudy. Radu on Twitter saying, offense looked better when Watson was out, and Njoku will be better with Winston starting. And then Bacon of War Gaming saying, problem is Njoku didn't get going till Watson went out. And I think that's kind of the stakes this year. I think this is like last year going into the season, I need to see Amari and Deshaun do work together.
Yeah.
I always saw it. They had great chemistry last year. This year, it starts with David Njoku, but certainly goes to Elijah Moore and then obviously Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman and the other guys.
I think Njoku's important. I do. I'm not saying he's not. I just feel like the wide receivers are probably going to matter more, you know. And, you know, Deshaun's going to have to take some chances down the field this year. Obviously, Njoku can run. We know that. But I think he's going to be used, at least this is just how I would use him, more intermediate stuff. And obviously, huge red zone threat. Like, I think he'll score. I wouldn't be shocked if the guy's 8 touchdowns this year.
I like some of what I'm hearing there. I don't know there's a player that has been more held back in the passing game in the last 4 years than David. Whether it was it took a while for, I think, Baker to adjust to where he was on the field in that offense and the rhythm passing, or like Jacoby Brissett, like the guys that you've had play for until Joe Flacco, the guys you had play for Deshaun previously were not guys that were going to take full advantage of that. That is why I think the Flacco thing is fair, what everybody's saying there. 216-474-0092. Who is most important for the Browns offense, meeting or exceeding expectations this season? Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, or David Njoku? 300 votes in, 44% still saying Jerry Jeudy.